I'm Dr. Dante Vaughn, business strategist, culture architect, guide to leaders who want more than status. Leadership isn't just glossy headlines and perfect wins. On Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, we bring you honest conversations about what happens behind the curtain, the real setbacks, the real pivots, real growth, from culture shifts to personal mastery, from trust crises to team turnarounds. This is where leaders get raw, real, and ready. Because a leader who's unfiltered might just become unforgettable. Welcome to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, where we cut through the noise and speak directly to what leaders are really experiencing behind the scenes. I'm your host, Dr. Dante Vaughn, and today we're diving into a conversation that so many leaders are afraid to admit they're struggling with. The pressure to keep up with AI while still trying to lead humans with clarity and confidence. I'm very excited to have our guest today, Patricia Gordon. She's an award-winning organizational development executive who has helped leaders, teams across the nation and globally navigate transformation while unlocking human potential and building future-ready cultures. Patricia brings not only strategic experience, but deep emotional insight into what leaders feel when the world changes faster than they can process. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thrilled to be here, Dante. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm very excited as we launch Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. It's a privilege to have you join us as a guest. We have a privilege of working together, and we've seen the magic that can happen when we lead with authenticity, with transparency. Now, today we begin with the real story, that moment when AI didn't just challenge your strategy, but your identity as a leader. So I want to unpack that. Leaders everywhere feel overwhelmed by the pace of AI, right? You turn on the television, you watch the internet, you watch the streams, you see all these different insights and perspectives and certifications, right? They're expected to already understand everything. We keep hearing this term, AI, even when inside they feel confused or pressured or afraid or even falling behind, right? There's this urgency around understanding AI. So I want to start with a question for you, Trish. Can you share a time when AI or new technology made you feel unsure or pressured as a leader, but also for you as a thought leader, as a strategist guiding other organizations? Like what moment made you realize that the real issue isn't really the innovation in technology, right? But the human experience behind it.
Absolutely. Well, I think this is a really important topic. And I like to think of AI is really just another tool in our toolbox. So if I think of anything over the last, you know, in my world of work in the last couple of decades where I was supporting an organization through any form of technological transformation, it wasn't the agile transformation. It could have been a new system implementation. Often I found when I was in the room, for example, I did a 2-year, and this isn't AI related, but I'm giving you a proxy of technology transformation, where I, in essence, was part leading the transformation of a $1.6 billion procurement spending system for a statewide agency, right? Now, what's interesting, I knew nothing about the technology. I knew nothing about procurement, but my role in that 2-year project was to ensure that we are supporting people through what is the purpose? What is the benefit? What's our vision here? What's the learning journey? Because in essence, anybody going from A to B, a new system or technology, they need to understand that it's a learning journey. The way they've done it before, the way they're going to do it, how different it is, the way in which the system will support them, help them do new tasks differently. But it's still the human learning journey. It's still the vision and communicating and supporting them throughout. It's making sure that they're having strong dialogue with their manager around where they're going. Now, I give that as an example of I still was valuable on that team because I was supporting the human side of the transformation, not the technical transformation. And at first, I was feeling like, wow, am I going to be valuable in this process, right? And that I realized how essential the human, it's not about the technology change. And too often when we're in a room and they're focused on that, the technologists are focusing on the technology, it's amazing how that actually doesn't help bring people along, right? Like sort of focusing on the technical implementation actually isn't what brings people along and understanding how this will support and help them. Now, I say that, Dante, if I were just to give a bit of a model in my work, our work in many ways around change management, helping people go from A to B. That example I just gave you is when B was fairly known. We're trying to implement this system with these tools and features. What I find interesting about AI right now is that the B is less known. So that's where the leadership, the support, the journey requires a lot more from the leader because it's a lot more complex to help them understand that you don't even know always what B is as a leader. So you actually have to move yourself into more comfort with ambiguity, more vulnerability, less command and control because you know you have to collaboratively come up with the solutions and answers. So I wanted to just give you that context of sort of for the last couple of decades, we've had a lot of tools and technologies and transformations in our workforce. This is another example of this, but this requires even more leadership due to its complexity of we're not always sure what the outcome is.
So I love that. So thank you for sharing that. I love that you're speaking to the reality of now and that AI isn't as familiar, right, to many. And I want to lean into that a bit more. Remember, this is Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, right? So I want you to be unfiltered in sharing with me how, let's start with you, right? How did you navigate the notion of embracing this new tool, this new innovation, and finding its synergies and interconnectivity essentially to your the work that you do, your expertise, the value you bring? How did you arrive there? What was that emotional, psychological, mental process that you navigated?
Okay, perfect. And one is that I am just naturally a learner and curious. And so I really am open to that sort of A to B journey, B being unknown. I always have enjoyed being in those types of environments. I was the type of leader that was selected to lead this sort of newer processes in an organization that weren't defined, that you needed to navigate and understand and be resourceful, that the picture from A to B wasn't clear. So I would say first in my work that I find, and then I'll translate that to the exact same story for organizations. So first is, you know, I am a independent consultant that supports organizations through large scale transformation. And of course, AI, we're in the new frontier of that. Now, I realize as a I have lots of support like you as collaborators, other people that I can connect with. However, as a solopreneur in many ways, AI means, wow, I now have a team. I have a board of advisors using AI, and my real board of advisors. I now have a set of research practitioners that I never had. But remember, I'm using the I have AI and I have people that I know who are researching in this area, right? So I'm myself bridging the actual connections I have with people who are doing some of this research and work with leveraging AI around that. I now have administrative support. Wow, that is so helpful within the world of AI. So first, it's me understanding my work and how AI is supplementing and making me be and offer my clients now a whole team that I envisioned in my head, right, for the long-term view of my company. Well, AI has brought that to me instantly. Mm-hmm. Now, answering your part B question around what that does, what that can do for me with clients. Take sort of strategic, I just took a agentic at MIT course, Agentic AI for Organizational Transformation. And for my capstone project, I tried to support helping organizations, CHROs, create a strategic workforce plan of the future that is helping individuals understand the work that they do, breaking it down into tasks, and actually individuals seeing for themselves instead of the fear, but seeing where they can have potential for how they can get AI augmentation, AI replacement tasks that they find boring, they're not as good at, but it doesn't, you want them to also see that this helps tap their own potential, right? So you want, and I'm not saying there's not other parallel processes within workforce planning, but this is one where you help people see the opportunity. So again, this is when I say my emotional journey, don't get me wrong, Dante, sometimes I think there's the positive outlook side, which I just shared. There is also the, wow, I mean, as consultants, AI can take some work for us that might have taken 6 months and now can be done in 4 weeks. I see that as an opportunity, but I also have to translate that to the different way in which I approach clients, the pricing model, but et cetera. So there's some shifts in consulting because if I have these tools, so does everybody else. Yeah. But I also have to see it as opportunities in way I might also have to shift in the way in which I work with clients because AI now can be an equalizer because everyone else has the same team I just created. Awesome. So there's the positive, see the potential side, and then you're going to also have to shift the way in which you work also.
Awesome. No, thanks for sharing. Extremely insightful. So some themes that I heard. You leaned into the unknown with a sense of curiosity and in this pursuit. Okay, what is AI? What does it mean? And then how does it apply to my world? And in my offering as an entrepreneur, as a strategist, as a consultant. And I think that's really important for our listeners to process and understand that in the midst of newness, in the midst of uncertainty, we can decide to shy away from it and pretend like it's not there or this innovation will come and go. I remember what folks said about the internet. I remember what folks said about a lot of new innovations that are now the standard of practice, right? AI appears to be that new standard of practice in many ways. So I love that you're highlighting, embracing the uncertainty. So strumming up the courage to say, let me pursue this. Let me go after this with an open mind. The other thing I heard you mention, which I think is really important, is you maintain this student mindset, this lifelong learner, right? Even to the pursuit of, hey, I'm going to research what I can. I'm also going to look for opportunities to take the certifications, do what I can do to start to become a new thought leader in this space over time. So I love that lifelong learner mindset has equipped you to embrace these new innovations like AI and what it means for businesses and just individuals alike. And then the other third theme that I heard you repeat is this conversation around seeing things through the lens of opportunity. Imagine every time we face challenges or obstacles, if we sorted through all of the white noise of it all and saw it for a potential of opportunity, or let's pursue the opportunity, you are increasing the probability that the outcomes of this new thing is going to be so positive for us in our lives. So I love that you've done that through the lens of AI. You're also not naive to the fact that, hey, for every benefit or opportunity that it presents for me as a business leader and entrepreneur, it could mean the same for my clients. So how do I meet my client where they are and understand their reality as well? Phenomenal themes. As we wrap up our first segment, coming up next, we're gonna dive into the tension behind the AI hype and why rushing into tech without people creates bigger problems than solutions. So I want you to stay with us when we return. You're watching Everyday Leaders Unfiltered with Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just glossy headlines and perfect wins. I'm Dr. Dante Vaughn, business strategist, culture architect, guide to leaders who want more than status. On Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, we bring you honest conversations about what's happening behind the curtain, the real setbacks, real pivots, real growth, from culture shifts to personal mastery, from trust crises to team turnarounds. This is where leaders get raw, real, and ready. Everyday Leaders Unfiltered premieres soon on Now Media Television, because a leader who's unfiltered might just become unforgettable. Welcome back to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. Want more of the insights you're hearing today? Stay connected to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand anytime. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for nonstop bilingual programming. And don't forget, you can catch the podcast version and more on our website at www.nowmediatv. All right, so we're coming back to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. I'm here with Patricia Gordon, and in this segment, we're talking about the pressure leaders feel to implement AI fast, even when their organizations aren't emotionally or structurally ready, right? This is where the hype meets the human impact. Now, leaders are being sold the idea that organizations lack the culture, clarity, and psychological safety required to implement AI responsibly. So, Trish, I want to guide our dialogue a bit, and I want to ask you some questions here. And the first one being, why do so many leaders believe that AI will somehow magically fix broken systems or bad right. culture? And the second part of that question is really around what makes this hype around AI and this perception of what it'll bring dangerous when people don't really understand how it works.
Right. Well, I want to answer that second part first. Okay. I think it's so interesting, related to and connected to our first segment. You know, when boards are asking, you know, senior leadership, you know, what's our AI strategy? Is that the right question they should be asking? Or should they be asking, you know, what is our organizational strategy that, you know, and how can AI and other technologies and our human capital strategy support that? So they're so focused on the technological element that they're not focused on the key organizational strategy that this technology and other technologies can support. Mm-hmm. So I do think, for one, we get so trapped in the opportunity of AI that we're forgetting to ask ourselves, what problem is this solving for us? How is this helping our achieve our goals? And then when you get that clarity, AI could maybe help streamline by, as I was mentioning before, it actually could take your existing workforce and make it sort of more powerful. They, you know, I think of the struggle leaders and sort of middle managers and all of us face in organizations, that we're always asked to do more with less. Well, potentially AI can help us do more with more, but yet still the same challenges. What are our key objectives? We're still going to need to prioritize because we also don't want to go down an AI rabbit hole with more information, more data that we can't sort of discern, structure, and organize that are connected to the key problems we're trying to solve. So first, I do think we've got to remember that is our focus. And I remember always teaching a decision-making class that helped people get out of the mind trap of being clear on the key objective versus getting trapped in sort of the current challenges they're facing or whatnot. So I hope that that sort of answers the question around the way in which we are going down a dangerous path, focusing on AI versus our key strategy and outcomes and the way in which we get there. And AI is one question, sub-question you ask versus what is our AI strategy?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. One of the things that I think about is, and I've used this analogy, and you touched on this in our first segment. AI should be considered a new innovative tool that can become accessible, but it's like any new tool. And I use this analogy a lot. If I have a shiny new wrench, right, and everyone could have all the views and perspectives around what that shiny wrench will do or mean for my engine or for my business. But if I don't know what a wrench is, how to use it effectively, it doesn't matter the potential that that wrench brings. It doesn't matter how shiny the toolbox is where the wrench is stored, right? And I think oftentimes, to your point, organizational leaders get excited about the potential of what it represents. They were even sold the potential of what it represents without thinking through, to your point, are the stakeholders or the end users prepared to understand what this means, how it impacts their world or the business at large, and what to do with it? So understanding and taking those necessary steps, and to your point, the human-centered side of that becomes a factor for consideration, and not moving so quickly without applying some due diligence. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you seen leaders thus far in this new emergence of and desire to adopt AI? Have you seen leaders use AI as a shortcut instead of facing real human problems in their organization?
I mean, I think I have a response on both sides of the coin. So one of them is in terms of people developing their skill set and their own creativity and being able to think about the problem first, so that by the so I th before rushing to use a prompt to get, information or data first, that they want to understand it, think about it first before, again, even the research that I did in the MIT course is just the value of the prompt. Right. And the prompt in regenerative AI requires you to think through what are you trying to achieve? What is the context? What is the role you want the AI to be? So that requires a lot of your own creative thinking versus just going in and sort of getting an output and then leveraging that output when you actually haven't used your own creativity first. So that's just, again, that it is a tool to use, but you don't want to outsource it such that you haven't structured your own thinking around the problem and the outcome. The
Well,
flip
said.
side, so the flip side, again, and I, it's always good to remember that is that you want it with certain clients that there is some fear around using AI. So for example, in certain parts of, HR, there might be sort of, I see a lot more openness to use AI for the recruiting process, right? And that feels sort of a leveraging AI for the initial interviews or thing going through the resumes first, versus how you could use it in areas where you need sort of objective support, like employee relations and investigations. So because that also requires that second part, it's legal impacts, right? There's other impacts to consider. So you want leaders to understand the current, for example, in that second example of the employee relations, what is the existing workflow? How does the existing workflow work? And you could do this process for anything, whether it's any existing process. What is the current workflow? What is the way in which you have to consider in that workflow, either laws that you have to make sure you don't violate, whether it's, you know, GDPR, privacy, HIPAA, et cetera. Then you see where AI could support those tasks or streamline that entirely or reorder them. But you also want to consider what are the implications of those choices. So I just say that you want a leader to take any way in which they're either, you know, either super hesitant and fearful, they've not thought through the way in which somebody should think about the problems first, or that there's these other considerations that they have to consider that are really relevant to managing risk in an organization. So all those three things are making sure you have thought through the, to your point, working with employees to show them that there's ways in which you should be thinking about the problem first. There's ways in which you could make sure you're clear about the existing workflows, because AI cannot solve broken, you know, everything, a broken workflow, for example. That's right. So you want to make sure you're clear on that in the way in which it already exists today. And then when you're thinking about the way AI can support it, you also want to think about these key considerations: security, risk, you know, legal, privacy, other laws that matter. So again, that we want to use AI, but we still need the same, you know, design thinking, the same critical thinking to solve the problems we're trying to achieve, in which AI could make it more efficient, higher quality, and, you know, support somebody doing, having the, outsourcing the tasks that they aren't good at or don't have an interest in doing.
Makes complete sense to me. One of the things that come to mind, I always say, the devil's in the details. And for those of you that don't like the term devil, I'll keep it soft for you. The pitfalls are in the details. The reality is, innovations that can be realized through AI are only as good as the considerations that are applied in the exploration, implementation, and adoption of this new tool or tools. Understanding the implications, to your point, when you're applying a level, measured, critical thought and diligence around, okay, if I apply it in this manner, what will be the output? What are the implications of it? How do I ensure that I am leveraging my understanding and my thoughtfulness in a way to yield the appropriate output that gets me to a desired outcome? These are things that need to be examined. Oftentimes, we respond to the immediacy of the output without really thinking through, even down to how accurate are the insights and informations gleaned through this new resource or this new tool, or how well have I applied this to an existing tool in a manner that has truly optimized my workflow or my process. So really good insights there. I heard you also speak to something that I think is important as we talk about due diligence. I think considerations as it relates to all of the individuals impacted by the examination, exploration, implementation of new AI innovations or technology. I think considering all of the individuals impacted by it, even down to not only just core foundational understanding or training, or but also just experience. I mean, what's the human cost when companies push automation before true human readiness, meaning the individuals within their organizations, both in their equipping through knowledge and understanding, but also the emotional readiness, right? It's not just a skill and competency consideration. It's also, what are the implications when they consider, when they hear all of the hype and the risk and the fears? We've talked about this before. When you turn on the news and you see Fortune 100 to Fortune 500 companies doing mass layoffs, and they're pinning the root cause or the decisions behind these layoffs to all of the innovations that have been gained through AI. If you as a prospective end user are expected to now embrace this thing that I have an inherent fear or associated with my own job security or livelihood, that's a difficult psychological or emotional hurdle to overcome. So it gets into a lot of complexities when we talk about this readiness for adoption and not moving too fast. So the core theme of what I took away from what you shared is the due diligence and applying thoughtfulness and research and understanding and not rushing to something blindly. So great insights there. Now, Patricia, before we close out of our second segment, where can our viewers follow your work, stay connected, or just learn more about your insights on change leadership, on transformation, on AI innovation?
Fabulous. Well, my company is called People-Centered Transformations. So you can go to that website and find me there. I also created an assessment called Are You Future Ready? That is structured for organizations to think about people-centered approaches, and is particularly in this time of technology and innovation. So you can find me there at patricia@areyoufutureready.com. So either People-Centered Transformations, Are You Future Ready, or you can certainly find me on LinkedIn. And my focus is always on people-centered transformations, that in essence, the transformation must always be people-centered, and it's based around both the elements of the personal potential, the way in which leaders still connect your purpose. So even if you have a new tool, a new way to be efficient or higher quality, it still matters about the purpose of your work and the alignment with values. Oh. That's around the people side, but not forgetting that environment matters, right? Now more than ever, I believe in this assessment, we talk about the environment. This is what you're talking about, Dante, the environment, the container in which leaders support and create to help people learn, feel safe. And remember, AI is just like any other transformation. There's gotta be room to fail. There's gotta be room to test. Our organizations and environments, like you said, ready for that, and sort of understanding that people need support, they need training, they need time. Yep. And leaders also need to understand that, as we were mentioning in the first segment, that the journey is not defined and clear. So everybody needs to be supporting each other in really the organizational determination, the self-determination about what, you know, organizations will become leveraging this tool and technology. So anyway, perfect. People-centered perfect. Transformation, are you future ready? But I really care about people plus the context in which they operate.
So. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So coming up, we shift into the leadership lens, where Patricia is going to break down how leaders can stay human and grounded while still embracing the future of technology. You're watching Everyday Leaders Unfiltered with Dr. Dante Vaughn. Leadership isn't just glossy headlines and perfect wins. I'm Dr. Dante Vaughn, business strategist, culture architect, guide to leaders who want more than status. On Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, we bring you honest conversations about what's happening behind the curtain, the real setbacks, real pivots, real growth, from culture shifts to personal mastery, from trust crises to team turnarounds. This is where leaders get raw, real, and ready. Everyday Leaders Unfiltered premieres soon on Now Media Television, because a leader who's unfiltered might just become unforgettable. Welcome back to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. We're here with Patricia Gordon, and now we're digging into what leaders really need: the ability to stay present, emotionally intelligent, and human. Even while AI and automation evolves around us all, this is the segment where we shift from fear, question, concern, into practical, grounded action. The reality is, leaders want to adopt AI effectively, but they don't know how to balance tech-driven decisions with empathy, emotional intelligence, and real human connection. So, Trish, I want to start with a question with you. How can leaders stay human and emotionally aware while still embracing new technology such as the AI innovations that are before us?
Sure. I fundamentally believe in the last segment, you were talking a lot about change, you know, adoption and change readiness. And in essence, the early research is showing, just like we see the very, I think, well-known research that 70%, this is McKinsey, Gartner, that 70% of change efforts fail. The early research from Microsoft and others is saying the same thing with AI, that we're not getting out of the pilots, that they are failing. They're having some security breaches. They know that there's employee morale issues, because that's significant, as you were mentioning, workforce cut. They were using AI as an excuse for other leadership failures that they had. So really, we have the exact same problem we have, which is, How can you support people through this significant change? And number one, it's a leadership mindset shift that requires them to be present, to have more empathy for the fears people have, the concerns they have about their particular roles, or even if they're like me, when I said I was curious, I had the learner mindset, that still also comes with, you know, concerns, you know, what is my value here? And so I do think leaders, and by the way, the other thing that we were talking about in the first segment is how leaders also are in a unique spot themselves, and that they have to, for themselves, allow to be more vulnerable, open, and transparent. So saying that, by the way, I'm going to communicate with the organization around some of these ways in which our strategy, we have more opportunities with our strategy in the way in which we can use AI, but I don't have all the answers. And that's not always easy for a leader to kind of share. I can support and articulate a vision as a leader, but I will need all of you to kind of help us go from A to B, because I'm not as clear about that. So I think if leaders remember that they can be vulnerable with themselves, that they are less clear of this journey, find unique ways to communicate comfortably that sort of unknowing process to get from A to B, then they could, I think, engage more in a empathetic, you know, two-way dialogue with their teams and their employees around this journey. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, they create an environment, which I was saying in the last segment. So if they communicate differently, they're willing to be more transparent and vulnerable. They are willing to have two-way dialogue to really understand what people are thinking, the fears they have, et cetera. They then create an environment by which people then can feel more comfortable doing the same. So I think that's that kind of leadership mindset shift that creates ways in which they communicate, you know, differently, more transparent, more vulnerable, that then creates an environment for people. I think what that container does is invite people into the journey. And so again, just this mindset shift that then creates different ways, because it's your mind first, right? You've got to get out of the fear, get out of the unknown, start having those dialogues, that creates more opportunities. So just shifting the way you communicate. And then we also know in any change effort, you know, communication still is listed as a significant failure. It's not about the top down, you know, like talking points. It's got to be really rooted in what does the journey from A to B look like? What are the steps involved? What do we do when we're feeling, you know, concerned? Where are the tools and resources? How do I learn? So I do think that this is an important, you know, step in the process. That's not dissimilar to, you know, any change journey that other, you know, leaders have been on. They just aren't, we aren't using the tools as well.
Love that. So let's take it to an interesting place for our viewers and listeners alike. This segment is really about actionability, and I want to ensure that they walk away with what they can do next. So I'm going to ask you to do two things. One is, through the lens of you are as a leader looking yourself in the mirror and preparing for what you speak to, which is this mindset shift. What do you tell yourself in the mirror to help you begin to make the shift in mindset? What are some things that you can tell yourself, and what steps would you take as a follow-up?
Yeah. Sometimes I like to answer these questions with what it doesn't look like, right?
Sure.
And so you don't want the leader looking in the mirror saying, I've got this. I know all the answers. I know exactly the journey. We're going to push forward. We are going to do this in record time. So I think that for one is what you don't do. And by the way, that type of mindset, this goes back to, you know, sometimes the research, what got us here won't get us there. That type of sort of way in which you think has served you probably for many other problems you're trying to solve in the past, or that mindset probably actually serves for some problems you're trying to solve that are more straightforward, that you know the from A to B, where I keep talking about where B feels clear. We're implementing this technology, we're bringing in this new vendor, etc. So I think the mindset looking in the mirror is, I am in new territory. I myself don't have all the answers. I probably better start having conversations with people and understanding where they're at, instead of having conversations only with myself and my senior team. I might have to have more skip level meetings. So that meaning I need to make sure that I'm connected to people and the challenges that they're facing, because you can't necessarily imagine empathy. Sometimes you have to have these conversations. So that's just telling yourself in the mirror, you know, wow, like what does my day look like, and how can I actually engage more with, you know, different folks? Hey, where do I need some support? Where do I need to get educated and upskilled? Because in the best way to support, you know, my organization, myself, my team, my employees.
Love that.
So that it's okay that they can also get support.
You bet.
The other thing I'll just say is, and I think this is a theme that has been woven through, but we haven't directly spoken about it, which is about this pressure around the speed of this change and that what's around us. And I think that this goes back to the sort of what not to say, like we've got to move fast, we've got to move now. It can be the slow down to speed up mindset. It's like, let me get clear on this first, that you will, the reason why the change efforts, 70% of the change efforts fail, right? They're thinking they have to go fast. Well, that railroading speed actually creates often failure and mistakes versus, you know, giving yourself more room and sort of white space to solve these problems.
Well said. So now let's turn from the mirror conversation to now I need to have this conversation with those individuals impacted by whatever pursuit I'm embarking on or attempting to mobilize others to embark on relative to technology and innovation. What do I say or what conversation should I have directed outward?
So again, I have created a model around a change narrative. So I think that I'm pulling from that framework only in response to this question, that this goes back to that the in order to the in having the conversation with others, first make sure you're having the conversations with others. I think the second is making sure you really see things from their perspective. So often leaders with any kind of change, they have lived with or thought about the change for more time, days, weeks, months than when they're communicating to people, that it's more of a shock to them. So number one, if you can, communicate as early as possible. Number two, remember that speak in clear and in plain language, and that you've been living with it. So probably, you know, the acronyms, the language, the sort of objectives, the strategies, the way to get there, that feels more already part of your vision in your day-to-day. So you have to slow it down. You have to go back. And sometimes when you're thinking of the steps, it feels like, I think of the first grade, the second grade, the third grade, sort of step by step by step. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go back and sort of support people all along that journey. I also think you have to map like the time it takes for people to adopt and support the change. And so again, the more room, white space that you give them, opportunity and time, they can embrace this. And it's not to say there won't be resistance. The other thing is to really, again, we all are resistant to change. Like when I would, you know, at the time of having people physically training in one room, and whenever I taught a change class, they sit down and they're comfortable in their seats, and I ask them to move, and you know, everybody gets frustrated with that, and oh my gosh, I was settled in, I was talking to the person next to me. But even something small, like we are all resistant to change, so expect it, you know, naturally build that into part of the process, that this change part is hard. So I think in summary, just kind of highlighting that, number one, remembering you've probably been living or thinking about this change as a leader longer than those you're communicating to. So you have to go way back into step-by-step-by-step communication. You have to remember the having two-way dialogue, to remember and when you have those conversations, it will bring you back to understanding where their mindset is at, which again could be an entirely different, you know, perspective than yours.
Got it.
And do it in a way that again tries to really connect what's in it for them, that the opportunity for learning, leveraging these tools, you know, moving into the future, building their skill set, et cetera. Like, so really, you know, also demonstrating that there are a lot of benefits for people if you, you know, give yourself time to, you know, sit down with people and communicate that.
Got it. Makes a ton of sense. Some themes that stand out to me is grace. Grace, give yourself grace and understanding that while the speed by which these innovations are moving doesn't constitute an emergency for you, take the time to research, understand, evaluate. Then from an outward standpoint, that same grace applies to those impacted by the potential or the opportunities that may be presented as an outcome of these new innovations. giving those grace for the same space and time necessary for learning, understanding, adoption, and so on. So that term grace resonates with me significantly.
Love it.
Thank you so much for sharing. So next, we're going to close with the unfiltered takeaway. In this segment, the truth leaders must hold on to if they want to embrace the future without losing the heart of what makes up their leadership. Stay tuned. Leadership isn't just glossy headlines and perfect wins. I'm Dr. Dante Vaughn, business strategist, culture architect, guide to leaders who want more than status. On Everyday Leaders Unfiltered, we bring you honest conversations about what's happening behind the curtain, the real setbacks, real pivots, real growth, from culture shifts to personal mastery, from trust crises to team turnarounds. This is where leaders get raw, real, and ready. Everyday Leaders Unfiltered premieres soon on Now Media Television, because a leader who's unfiltered might just become unforgettable. Welcome back to Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. Don't miss a second of this show or any Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand anytime. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or listen to our podcast directly on nowmedia.tv. From business to culture and more, Now Media TV is here for you 24/7. We're back with Patricia Gorton for our final segment. And this is where we get brutally honest. The future of work is changing fast, and AI will play a role, no doubt about it. But the soul of leadership must remain human. So let's talk about what leaders must remember if they want to stay grounded while evolving. The reality is that leaders fear losing human connection, empathy, and purpose in the rush toward automation. And we spoke a lot about this urgency that has been created both by just general interest and just media in general, right? But staying grounded is not only possible, but it's really essential when we talk about people, human-centered leadership. So Trish, as we close out, what is the one message you want every leader to remember about AI and the future of work?
Okay, this is what I think about a lot. Technology is never neutral. It amplifies who we are. So we wanna think about that it's the story of this technology is remembering what we value. And we have to be careful as we're seeing, again, these stories of potential layoffs or even as I was mentioning, how we think creatively, how we leverage the potential of people and organizations, that AI should be a facilitator and a supporter of that, not a replacer of that. And we also have to take, there's the leader responsibility and then there's the individual responsibility. I think this goes back to, you asked me some personal questions. About sort of the technology that amplifies who we are, right? If we have our phone, right, and we just start going through the feeds and then a half an hour goes by, did we direct what we consumed? Yes, again, there's algorithms that's throwing stuff our way, but did, for example, I was thinking about, Dante, I absolutely love travel. Okay. I think about travel and I do some Google searches on travel. I always think about what's my next trip. But you know what's fascinating? If I look at my feed, none of it's about like amazing travel. It's actually not about, I'm not actually directing my experience, somebody else's. So again, we want to remember in this age of redefining work, redefining organizations, redefining our roles, redefining tools and resources we have, what is the technology saying about what we care about and value? And then again, and then reverse that question, what do we value? And then how can, you know, technology support or amplify it? And again, if you look at some of the sort of the difficult and negative news, you see that actually some companies, when they are making choices that are misaligned with what consumers or other people thought their values were, it creates backlash. So we also want to think about in the speed of, in the this desire and sort of thinking of the pressure and speed, there's a lot of you know, very small missteps with technology. If you don't have a human review of sort of AI, you have hallucinations that happen. You want to make sure that you have thoughtful structure processes so that you don't let any, and there's regenerative AI and there's agentic AI. Agents can start to take over and do things without, you know, you kind of structure it. You're not sure of with the vibe coding, the technology that creates these agents. Do you have the right human intervention? Are you clear on your objective? Are you making sure that that you have the right, you know, support and governance and process? Because a simple AI mistake that could reveal your values could have very significant implications. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much for sharing. So some themes that I summarize based on what you shared and what we've talked about the last few segments. There's the reality that in order to embrace any new innovation or change, it requires some level of courage, a courage to pursue the things that are unknown or undefined. Anything that's new and emerging requires some courage because we simply don't know what it may mean in its long-term effect. So with courage then comes this idea that there's due diligence required. There's due diligence in research and examination and understanding and consideration, even as we look at the opportunities that these new innovations bring. Then with that courage and grace also comes the idea of patience. Patience has to be balanced with the grace and the courage that we are practicing in this pursuit of this new thing. Be patient. Show grace for ourselves and for our team members as they explore this new thing. And then finally, as I think about all that we've explored today, there's the reality that with all new things, we need to afford oneself the opportunity to fail. Learn through those failures and allow it to help guide where and what we do next. And it doesn't mean to shy away from the innovation, but more lean into it. Understand that, okay, now that I've been course corrected or redirected, this is what this will mean to me and my organization or my team members in the future. Patricia, thank you for bringing so much clarity, honesty, and shall I say humanity to this conversation. Today, you reminded us that leadership isn't about knowing every answer. It's about being present, intentional, and courageous enough to lead people through uncertainty. AI may transform the workplace, but it will never replace the heart, empathy, and awareness that great leaders bring. To our viewers, as you go into this week, remember, innovation starts inside you. Small, mindful, intentional decisions shape the culture around you. And no matter how fast technology evolves, your humanity is still your greatest leadership advantage. Thank you for watching Everyday Leaders Unfiltered. I'm Dr. Dante Vaughn. We'll see you next time.